some of those conversations are sort of ongoing. I mean, you get 20 people in a room for 12 to 15 hours a day talking through different deals. And it's sort of hard in the moment because we didn't know which guys would get moved, which guys wouldn't. And so now that it's over, you know, that's what the next couple of days will be, sleep and roster construction. So I think we'll work on both of those and try to figure out exactly the right way things to do now that we know what's going to happen. And it is a big difference. I mean, I'm still sort of so used to having more movement in August. And now that we're sort of locked in, it does make things, that much more difficult.
That is the Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, in his post-deadline press conference. This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco. It's the Bernstein and Holmes show. It's Thursday, and Leila Rahimi is here today because she had White Sox responsibilities yesterday.
Yeah, it was me and Gordon Beckham. And Gordon was pretty fired up after the game, talking about self-accountability and what players can do to show that they belong in the big leagues. It was interesting. There's a segment of it on the NBC Sports Chicago YouTube channel if people want to check it out.
Gordon's been having fun over there, and it's been like I've literally ran into Ozzy a couple of days ago over there, and that was fun to talk baseball with him. And it was also interesting to just kind of watch. Like, I couldn't believe the White Sox sent Pedro Grifol to the podium yesterday. I'm like, if you were going to fire him, this will be the time.
Today is a day off. As I understand, they traveled to Minnesota today.
Was he with them?
Well, they haven't gone.
Well, haven't left yet. They travel to Minnesota.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I was saying.
Pedro is kicking stick.
Would this be, I'm just throwing this out there. This is not based on any intelligence. Lord knows I have none. But would this be a good day to just quietly say, hey, Pedro?
Yesterday would have been a great day to do it, considering the news cycle.
But, better a day late than not.
I got a bag of bears over there.
Bears.
I'll tell you at high noon.
She's not kidding.
It's a bag of bears.
She's not kidding.
When I say that the law of attraction sometimes works, this may be the best example.
Bears.
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 Lots. Okay, so for people like me who were at work yesterday during normal times, but not drive times, what happened? What did Jed say?
Well, Jed was on with Parkins and Spiegel, and there was a lot. I highly recommend that people go back and listen to the whole thing. There's even a little, just a touch of snippy, just a touch.
We definitely had some awkward conversations with Jed after the trade deadline.
The
2021 ring a bell.
When he was pinned down to some questions on things, this is what Jed said about evaluating how to build a Cubs roster now that this thing the last 2 years hasn't gone his way.
I think anytime you struggle, I think you soul search and you think about those things critically. I think you'd be lying to say that you don't. Sometimes I think that there's a level of randomness to our game. There's a reason we play 162 games, that's a reality. But yes, I think of course, as you struggle, you think about all the different decisions you made, which things you passed up on, which things you did do and did you do enough? And of course, like, that's just the nature of these jobs. I think that you're always A, trying to get better, but B, you're always thinking about which decisions you did or didn't make when you're struggling. You wouldn't be a competitor, and you wouldn't be thorough at your job if you didn't think about all those things.
I need him to do more than think about it, because I was wondering, like, if I were in the interview and asked that question, what would be kind of the follow up for me with this particular answer? How? Well, it's okay that you're thinking about it. I'm glad that, like, that's the first step. I want to know, who's your ombudsman, like, baseball wise? Where are you going to find out if you are actually behind the trend? And I was like, okay, well, could you relate it to your job? And it's not apples to apples, but I have other people listen back to segments and go, did I get that right? Did I interview that person well? Did we hit on the right thing? Is Jed doing that?
We also have supervisors. And Jed is now the president of baseball operations.
That's why I'm thinking more of peer to peer. Like, is there someone, like, can he call Theo and be like, hey, what do you think of what it is that we're doing? That's what I want to know. I want to know what his process is. Not that he's thinking about it, because of course he's thinking about it. What action goes along with you thinking about it that will allow you to know if you are or are not on the right track?
Don't you think that part of that implies that it's Carter Hawkins because he's a general manager and we've seen other teams go to, say, a single decision maker?
Here's my issue with it being Carter. I think that having Carter there is helpful, but I also think that when you hire someone, the chances of them not telling you the truth can be biased by them wanting to keep their job.
Do you remember the conflict that we always discussed that was much covered between, in Boston, between Theo Epstein and Larry Lucchino?
Yes.
That you had the young wunderkind and you had the old guy. There's nothing wrong with having an emeritus. If someone, if in a properly run organization, I know that,
because you know what you're walking into, right?
That's doing a lot of work.
Shmoney Shmarusa.
I wasn't even going to go there.
Huh?
But to have what Roland Hemond had been, to have, it doesn't even have to be somebody who's plugged in all the time, but just,
What does this look like from the outside?
Having an old person around is never such a terrible idea. And it's not threatening anyone's job. It's not saying, this is my special assistant to the owners whispering in someone's ear.
Yeah, it's not Doc showing up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's somebody just say, hey, let me there's the oracle down the hall. Sometimes there's a lot of businesses. And this doesn't just go for baseball. There are a lot of businesses that can't wait to push old people out. When you could be best served giving keeping people around and saying, would you just look at this for me and give me a thought?
100% on that. I mean, that's a cultural issue in a whole other discussion. But you know what? Older people with a lot of experience are expensive. And that's where a lot of that is founded in corporate America, as we know. We see buyouts offered all the time. That's a different piece. But you're right about that experience. You're paying for that experience. It has value. And that's the whole point.
I would exchange old for experience.
That's fair.
I would also argue this. I think Jed was that person for Theo. And knowing what we know about him, I think he would want to replicate that process or that piece of it. I think the best teams have some internal conflict. When you come from a categorical, I think when you're at odds a little bit and you don't have yes men surrounding you, that's when you get better results, because they're looking at your blind spots, whether or not you like it. Because that's what happens when you've got two different personalities and two different viewpoints. Having you work together is the hard part. Football is the best illustration, but I would also argue that on good baseball teams, the part of the person playing the eye test who isn't the statistician and who isn't just the numbers is typically your manager.
Jed needs a dreamer. Jed needs to be partnered with somebody who's a little crazy.
Well, but
and because Jed is a really good adult in the room,
just like Carter.
I think Jed, and believe me, I not apples to apples, but I always talk about this with my experience on as a board member. I'm a great worrier. I'm a great no guy. I'm really good at saying, let's look at all the liability issues. Let's look at what our exposure is. Are we sure? Are we sure? Are we sure?
You're good at taking the fun out of the things that require the fun being taken out of them.
I'm good in that role. But across from me or somewhere else at that table, it's great to have someone to say, hey, why not? Let's take a risk. It's okay. Maybe it doesn't turn out awful, and maybe it's all right. And if we're covered enough, it's fine. Just don't worry all the time. Let's go for it.
I think
Jed needs that person.
I think that I go back to a conversation that I had with Theo, where Theo talked about how insular the hiring in baseball is. Now, at the time, we were discussing it upon like racial and background wise. But
Jed has echoed that too.
Yeah. And then he went out and hired himself. Like Jed and Carter to me are very similar in approach, in how they talk about baseball. I haven't seen enough of a delineation to make me think that Carter is the dreamer.
I was under the understanding that Carter was hired for his knowledge that he brought from the Guardians organization.
Mm-hmm.
And how they are so good at developing and identifying talent. And if you've ever noticed, that's typically what I'm asking Carter about, is how do you think about things? Because to me, that is very valuable. I want to know that viewpoint.
I still don't see like enough of a disconnect between thought process when I hear the two of them talk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's different when you're behind closed doors, but I feel like it's very similar. And this texter, I actually agree with you.
You're 630 also representing texter, the voice of the organization, though, I think, too, when you talk to us.
Isn't counsel supposed to be that for Jed?
That's what I was saying.
I think he is. And I think that's why that we have seen a little bit of change. I think that we have seen, hey, man, I have to do this because you didn't give me what I needed. Hey, I'm going to try your Christopher Morel experiment, and then we're going to pull the plug on it, and we're going to go in a different direction. I'm gonna have to use bunts because you haven't given me enough power. I do think that they're, like, between him being an accomplished manager and him having enough sandpaper as a former player to challenge, and now with the money, having the power to go, this isn't the way that we should be doing this. That's my hope. That's what I thought was going to happen. And maybe it is and will.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, is typically that foil has been the manager. Even with the Astros, A.J. Hinch was that foil to Jeff Luhnow at the time.
But
you know, Craig Counsell was an appropriate, I think, like background and mission statement foil to David Stearns, who is from that same GM tree.
But I'll just say that some of the examples that we have with this front office and the previous one is they don't like to be challenged that way. As weird as it sounds.
You're getting challenged every day on the field.
Because what happened when Joe started to challenge them? Then the whisper campaign started about, well, you know, we like to do things a certain way.
We're going to start being closer to the clubhouse. We're going to spend more time around the players.
Did you see what Joe said recently on Foul Territory?
Nope.
He was talking about the individuality of players and understanding how that needs to be put into practical application, like knowing who these people are as people. David Ross has talked about it a lot on this show.
And both of those managers were let go by this front office.
Right. And managing day-to-day and just understanding that part of it. And again, how does that contrast to what you're seeing the guys whose responsibility is to take the emotion out, to take the numbers and just look at them by themselves? You do need both.
Yeah, I can tell you just from having conversations with Joe specifically about what you're talking about, Layla, that his frustration, and I don't think that he did a good job voicing it all the time publicly. His frustration was Joe is a relationships guy. He understands how to talk to players. It's why he's been successful.
It's called a manager.
He understands how to manage. What he got tired of with the Cubs and with the Angels, it wasn't, and maybe even a little bit with the Rays, is that he got tired of the front office or the quant guys not going through him because he was managing the players and how they were intaking all of the information. Some guys want it all. Some guys will sit there. There are Carlos Correa types out there that can sit and talk with front office quants all day long. There are some guys who are like, can you make it plain for me? I don't need a stack of papers. Tell me to stop swinging at inside pitches. Done.
Or like the example Ian Happ gave us last week, talking with John Mailey, who also used to be a hitting coach for the Astros.
I think Jed needs a YOLO guy. And I don't know that is Craig Counsell, who I also think is somewhat deliberate.
Can you YOLO when you've got all that money on the books, though?
Right. That's the thing, too. What are those constraints?
YOLO requires expenses.
YOLO is not cheap. And I don't know who tweeted this, but someone said that's really the ideal marriage, is when you have one person who's like, let's fly to Paris. And the other person's like, I'd love to, but if we do that, then we can't do this, and we have to decide between. It's like, if you listen to one person, you'd be homeless in 2 months.
Thy experience is not things.
And if you listen, well, there's something to be said for that. And if you listen to the other person, you'll be miserable. And the key is finding that balance between homelessness and misery.
Or was YOLO guy the one who's still paying $7 million to Trey Mancini this year?
Well, maybe it is. And
have you guys ever looked at that, by the way? The retained payroll this year?
Yeah, not great.
Is
the Daniel Descalzo list.
That would be my YOLO budget. You know, that
whose bench is he
to
on?
Yawn and
who's Daniel? Daniel Descalzo in someone's coaching staff?
I think so.
We just talked about him, I feel like, a couple days ago.
Looks up on internet.
Yeah, I think he is.
To the internet!
But that idea
Or the 2012 White Sox season in review book that I'm very excited about.
When did you turn into Grobstein?
They're giving them away at NBC Sports Chicago. There's all sorts of stuff.
I love stuff like this.
I don't sell them on eBay. Daniel Descalzo is?
He's with the Cardinals, yeah. Right? He's Ollie Marmol and Tommy Pham all came up together.
Oh, that's adorable.
What's up, fam?
Except for me, who had to suffer the World Series.
Karate man bleed on the inside.
But there is something to that balance, you know? And when you see it play out, like, the Morrell trade is hard for me because I wonder if there's a part of you that wants to say, no, we believe in this guy. And then somebody has to say, he may have reached the peak with this organization. Like, we've done all we can do
too
with
late.
Him.
Like, you could have done this last year and gotten a ton.
But see, that's the issue. We talk about it in basketball often. You know, here we are saying that with Patrick Williams. We talked about it with Larry Markkanen. Sometimes an organization has done all it can do. And then they go elsewhere and they flourish. And that's the risk you run.
There's another cut from Jed that I want us to play real quick. And Dan, I want you to react to this because we've been kind of hogging the conversation a little bit. This is Jed talking about building offense and adding a 6-WAR, 7-WAR type player to an offense doesn't necessarily mean the offense is going to get better.
What?
Well, one person, I mean, is not going to change, our offense. I think that, as I look at what things I'm looking forward to seeing over the next 2 months, we need to be much better offensively. And certainly, whether it's swapping out, Paredes and sort of his approach versus Morrell, that doesn't solve that issue. We have to have a lot of guys in that lineup. I think, have had solid years, but ultimately we haven't had anyone really overperform their projections. And we haven't hit situationally. And I think when you look at it and you look at this team, we've pitched well enough to be a contender, despite the fact that we have as many pitching injuries as almost anyone. We've battled through and pitched well. We haven't hit enough, plain and simple. And that's been a problem from day one. And certainly the expectation was not that Isak Paredes could come in and change that. We think he's certainly part of the solution. But I'm hoping over the next 2 months that we look more like the offense we were last year. And that certainly would give me some comfort going into the offseason, because there's no question that, looking at the way we played this year, the offense hasn't been good enough, and we haven't scored enough runs, and that's obviously put us in the hole that we're in.
Wow. Well, a couple things. First of all, I noticed the same subtext of non-excuse-making in, the pitching injuries. In the previous answer, it was, there's a lot of variance in a 162-game season. So he invoked captain variance in that. Both are true. Both are true, but don't necessarily need to be mentioned there. Also, we're not having anybody overperforming their projections. Well, when you do the projections, I'm going to say you have to rely on Prospectus or Fangraphs or Steamer or Zips or whatever you use. What your proprietary projections, don't look with rose-colored glasses at what could be. Look, do the opposite. Look at what is probably going to be, or it could look at everybody's 35% outcomes, and then say, how do we bulwark against this? What do we do if this happens? And then it's like, you're not telling me Juan Soto in the middle of this lineup would make a difference?
That's a low-key indictment of your own decision-making when you say that.
Or Bobby Witt Jr.
Right. But seriously, that is I actually think the Yankees are a good example of what he's talking about, in that What did I say to you guys when I'm like, oh, the Yankees finally turned into the team I predicted them to be last year? All they needed was Juan Soto. But they also have Aaron Judge hitting out of his mind.
And then they went and got Jazz Chisholm.
But that's the point, is there's a combination there. And then fans are still frustrated because the pitching doesn't always look good. And the general soreness is out now, paid a visit to Gerrit Cole.
I would just hate to build my team around betting an overperformance and exceeding projections.
Yep.
That's not a business plan.
It's definitely a business plan.
I mean, you also...
And that's part of the problem.
But you also need guys who are having projections that have slugging numbers over 500. Right, like, that's how you ensure...
Yeah, so fine. Have him not overperform. If he just... Even if he slightly underperforms, have those be good numbers.
Right, like, you need a 5-WAR player... who's actually just meeting his expectations.
Or maybe not quite, but is still better than most players.
And listen, unfortunately, one of your most expensive players, who is a 4.5 WAR player, is not meeting his. But that is the idea.